What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Blue, and here we are again, back for Blue's Talks. I hope everyone's doing really well. It's been a crazy 2021 so far, but you know what? I think we're pushing. I think we're really in there, and I think we're gonna make it. It'll be all right. I am joined by one of the lovely owners of OG Cannabis Products, Sarah Stremke. How are you, Sarah? She is doing fantastic. I'm doing great. It's been a crazy morning. It's been hot. It's been super duper hot. We've got this very awesome Arctic Air fan blowing right now. It's probably the noise that you're hearing. I'm sorry if that's annoying. This is just like a fun thing anyway, so it doesn't really matter on kind of if it sounds, you know, like I'm in a back of an airplane. That's fine. I appreciate everyone who has listened to my previous episodes so far. It really does mean a lot to me. I never thought that anyone would really, you know, care on what I had to say about certain things. So I really definitely do appreciate that. So Sarah, since we have you here, now mainly on Blue's Talks, I've always dived into hip hop and then that kind of territory. I am curious to know. I know you're not super big into hip hop music, right? But can you tell me about the first hip hop that you heard and you were just like, wow, that was actually pretty all right?
Busta Rhymes.
Okay, what Busta Rhymes? I'm kind of curious.
I have no idea.
Okay.
He was just such an impressive person.
I wonder if it was like old school Busta Rhymes. Definitely old school.
It was in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was in the
90s. Come on! Sing it! Come on!
It was super fun. There was also, back in the day when MTV actually had music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had made this Blacklight Creature Party music video. It was so great at the time.
He had those creative elements for music videos, though. I feel like the 90s music videos was all like, everything was so flashy and shiny. If you look at those old like Puff Daddy videos, how he's like in an all white and like he's the bright orange suit on, it's super shiny. And even like to Missy Elliott and things like that, they were all in sort of like that era of like, here, let's put you in something flashy. We'll do a CGI background and we'll do it through a fisheye lens and make it really, really cool. And that was cool. It was cool for a long time. And I always thought that like a music video like that would, be impossible. I was like, oh, there's no way. There's no way I could do something like that. But it's actually really not that hard. Not that difficult. It's just, you have to have the right software and right money. Anything is possible. Okay, I'm curious to know what music do you tend to gravitate towards to most, I guess. I know you're all over the place like myself. But what's like your one go-to? Like the one go-to either person that you just know without a doubt that you know every song and almost every album. You should see her face right now. She's really trying hard. The Beatles. Okay. All right. Yeah. 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 The classics. The classics. You gotta love the classics.
Absolutely.
Okay. I definitely like my oldies too. I definitely like me some Bobby Blue Bland. He is, the ain't no love in a heart. That's one of my jams. Anything Michael Jackson is usually on my radar for sure. I like Kiss. I like Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss is great. Kiss is awesome. AC/DC is good too.
Oh, I love
AC/DC. You gotta appreciate the rock. And I've had some great rock moments in my life. First rock concert I went to was actually, it was probably, if I'm guessing correctly, it was probably the Warp, one of the Warp Tours, where they have AFI and EVE6 and just all this shit. But the first concert that I went to, it was at the, it used to be the E Center, the Maverick Center now. And it was Slipknot, Disturbed, Mudvayne, and then Exhibit for like a weird reason. And it was a cool show. It was amazing. And it's funny because like I felt like I was just like when I was there, everyone was really super nice and like no one was mean at all. But everyone was just like, "Oh, you must be here for exhibit, right?" I'm just like, actually, no, I'm not. But and Korn. It was Korn. That's who it was. Yeah. So it was Disturbed, Slipknot, Korn, Mudvayne, and Exhibit. Same. And my thing is that I did like Korn. I liked I liked their music and stuff. But really, I was so intrigued that they had different album covers. That intrigued me. I don't know why that intrigued me so much, but that did. That sparked me to like buy it. And my one that I always wanted to find, never could find it, and I did finally find it. But it was the doll. It was the Voodoo doll one where he's all sitting on the table. That was the one I always wanted. And I could, you know what? Hold on. I need to take a stroll down memory lane right now, and I need to see what those album covers were. Because it was the Issues album. We know that. Okay. Album covers. Here we go. Yeah, see, that doll one was so cool. Okay, so we had... Yeah, okay, yeah. So we had the doll one. We also had this one. Looks like it was a lady who was laying down. Kind of like a shadow in the background. They had this cartoonish one where they were all kind of in a mental asylum and they're kind of like stitched together. And then they had the sidewalk one. Now, I always saw this one. I always saw the animation one all over. Kind of saw this. I never saw this one. Kind of saw this one, but this one was so hard to find. And this one's the most popular one, I think. Yeah. I really do. I really, really do. Man, that's crazy. I haven't thought about Korn in forever. I think they're still touring, actually.
I think they are, too.
That would be dope. That would be cool. I would be down. But I definitely cannot do, like, the, I'm too old to do the mosh pits. I hope you know that, Sarah. I know you want to go hard in the paint right now, but we might have to take it a little bit easy.
All right.
But no, I think it's really cool. I like all types of music, except for like I'm not really big in the country though. I can't like Johnny Cash gets a pass, I guess. Willie Nelson, they can get passes. I just am not the biggest. And it's funny because we just had that Garth Brooks concert, and it was like 54,000 people or something. It was crazy. So country is not really, I mean, I have respect though for country singer because they can really sing. Like they can hit notes like no one's business.
I've appreciated the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, they definitely have talent for sure.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few people that I would consider classic rock who would call themselves folk or country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things to where, like, now I feel like there's so many, like, people who are just mixing everything that it's almost, like, all in one now. Like, you can have, like, pop, indie, rock, folk, and all in the same song.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because Taylor Swift, like, she's the one who, like, definitely made that change. Because if you listen to, like, her first album, her first couple albums, I think, they're really country. And they're really, really, that type of music. But then she changed it and she did more poppy stuff, and that's what really got her going. And I think that's why a lot of people were like a lot of her hardcore fans were like upset with her about how she had switched up on them. But I think she didn't. I think she just evolved. I think she just sounded a sound that kind of worked better for her, it's the same thing with me. Like, I mean, I make music and I've been rapping, for a long time, and I've made a lot of rap albums, but this last one, I slowed it down a little bit, did some more melodies and some sing-songy stuff and still had like that hip-hop core, but it was something different. And it was cool. It was dope. Like, I'm super glad that I did it. And it really, like, doing that, like, made me want to do other things too. Like, I remember when I was here and you were teaching me how to do the guitar. Like, I was so excited. Like, I learned chords, you guys. Sarah's amazing. If you guys ever come down to OG, which you definitely should, if you ever get that special treat of having Sarah play your song, wow, it's great. Now, she does this one thing where she's like, I can't explain it. Like, she had her fingers move in weird ways where she's like, dun, 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 and she just, and she, it's funny because she'll start kind of like at a good pace, And then she'll go faster and faster and faster. And then she'll just sing the song while still playing it. It boggles my mind. You're so good, though. You're so great. I really wish I could teach myself how to play the piano more. Like I want to get a keyboard. I eventually do want to get a keyboard to where I can like practice it more. But I also think that like I just like I'm such a gimmick guy when it comes to piano. Like I just want to play like my favorite songs. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I can really like make a song on the piano. I think it's just so hard because like with chords and stuff on the piano, like so it's all been done. Like you're essentially just taking what's already been done and just kind of reorganizing it.
It's true.
You know.
When it comes to comedy sketches, this guy, the guitar, and plays all these songs to all these different chords one after another.
Yeah.
And like shows how from like 1920s all the way up until currently, we've been repeating the same chords over and over and just changing the lyrics.
Yeah, it's crazy because realistically, I mean, there is only so much that you can do from an instrument. Like an instrument can only give you so much. You know, so you have to like kind of take what it can give you and kind of just, like I said, reorganize it in a weird way. But that's what I love about music. I love that, you know, even how like, you know, all these instruments have been made and we've learned so much and done so much, music is still being made. Like people still come out with new shit and it's like really, it's nice. Like I'm, you know, I was starting to get worried, especially with like movies, because like movies were like, this started getting boring to me. Like it was the same shit over and over. And I'm like, don't get me wrong, I love movies. Like I love movies, but they're just repeating themselves, it seems like. But
I think it's been fun in the movies to watch all of the things that they're remaking or doing
years later. Yeah, like I mean those are great, but like yeah, exactly. But I think with music it's just a little bit different because like, you know, there's still stuff that's coming out that's like you've never heard before, you know, and it's just like, whoa. It's just quite a good feeling to know that it's still here. Even though there is some shitty music out there, like don't get me wrong. Like there's some rappers that I've heard that are just like, wow.
Yep.
You know, really putting it out there. There's this one guy, and I'm definitely, don't get me wrong, I'm not hating at all. I just think it's different and funny. But there's this guy, his name is 645AR, okay? And 645AR, he is just a very interesting character, okay? He raps with a very, very high voice. And it's not that him himself is rapping with a high voice, but he is manipulating his voice to be almost chipmunk-like, you know? And it's like, I'm not even exaggerating, okay? But this guy's got numbers. Like, there's people out there that are listening to him. They were. But I mean, like... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, but it's so funny how people are just using so many different avenues to do things, and, you know, love or hate it, they're gonna do what they do, you know?
One of my favorite recent rap things that I've been interested in is something they did down in Australia called Rap News.
Rap News?
Rap News.
Rap?
News media, rap news.
Okay.
It ended a couple of years ago, but while they were doing it, it was fantastic. Totally had my attention.
Wow. Okay.
I would love every
episode. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was in, you said Australia?
Australia.
Wow. You know, that's another thing that I always forget about. I always forget that there's rappers in like different countries. And like right now, I think the main thing that was kind of blowing up, it kind of slowed down, I think, but a lot of the drill rap and a lot of that's from like the UK rappers and stuff like that, you know, because they talk, you know, they rap very aggressive, and they pronounce very well, you know, and it's the same thing with like you know, rappers from like Chile or like rappers from like, you know, Australia and rappers from like Sweden, things like that. It's crazy that there's like this whole other side to rap music that a lot of people don't see because, you know, we're in the US and we're kind of, you know, marketed a certain thing. And if it's not popular here, then we're not going to hear about it, you know? And that's kind of how I came across, have you ever heard of baby metal? No. Never heard. Okay. This is how I kind of heard of baby metal. So I don't even remember how I heard about it. I think it was just like a YouTube video, but baby metal. So they were like these three, like, I think they're from Korea. Okay. But they make metal music. Right. And like they, you know, they don't sound like, you know, they still sound like girls. They obviously, they're little girls, but they make hardcore, like, you know, and they got really, really big. And I, like I said, I believe it was in Korea, but after that, there was somebody, I believe, who had brought their music over to the U.S. And once they did that, they did the U.S. tour. And when they did the U.S. tour, they were famous. Here, at least here, you know. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, there's so much different type of music out there. It's crazy. It is so dope. Okay, and I want to shift gears here a little bit. And I want to, now I know we do this all the time and you're probably so sick of talking about it, but I want to talk a little bit about OG. Okay, a little bit about OG. Can you tell the people just a little bit, I'm not crazy novel here, but a little bit about OG and what you guys are about.
So OG Cannabis Products is a company, we're a CBD processing company in Mill Creek, Utah. We have a retail store, website, and just, you know, we make awesome products. We started in response to surgeries that my daughter was having on her spine, and different things that we could do to help manage her pain, and it ended up being really great, and we gave it to a bunch of family and friends and decided that we would start a company with it. So we're patient owned and operated, women owned and operated, and we're just doing it over here in Mill Creek. We've got 9 registered products in Utah and 11 products available in Colorado and California. So
dope. I remember I was on a tour one time, right? And of course I'm definitely an advocate for cannabis, right? And I remember we were in California and we had like a little bit of weed on us, right? And during our trip down through California, we decided to stop and, you know, kind of do the tourist thing, kind of look around. It was really, really hot, right? And we wanted to also go to a dispensary, right? And we didn't have a lot of gas. That wasn't our problem. So we had parked in this neighborhood, right? And we had kind of walked down to this place. And it wasn't that far of a walk, really. But it was really, really hot for me. And I remember, like, I was just getting, like, this slight headache that was coming on, right? I was getting a little fatigued. But I was like, you know, I'll be fine. I'm gonna get some stuff, you know, and I'll be good. And so when I went into this dispensary, I went in there and kind of was looking around at the, you know, obviously I'm going towards the flower and kind of looking out and, you know, oogling at it. And then I look over to my right-hand side and I see this fridge, like a little mini fridge. Okay, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is just sodas. You know, I'm thirsty. I could use a soda. So I go over there and I look at the fridge. Everything in this thing is CBD sodas, CBD juices, CBD, like everything, right? At least for the drinks. And so I looked at it, I was like, whoa, what the heck is CBD? I'm like, is that like weed? And, you know, I was so confused. And so I asked the guy about it and he explained what CBD was. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of wild. That's cool, you know? Here, I'm thirsty. I'll take one, sure. And like, I didn't think it was going to do anything, really. Like, I just, you know, I've been smoking weed a long time, you know, and it's just one of those things I didn't think I would notice at all. We get out, I start drinking this drink, probably like maybe an hour later, I feel much better. I feel a little bit more energy. I mean, not crazy, but I feel a little bit more uppity. My headache's completely gone. And I didn't even smoke yet. Didn't even hit my flower yet. Only had the CBD drink. So that's how I know, like, CBD can definitely do wonders for people. But yeah, that was like my first experience with CBD. And ever since then, like if I can see like a good CBD product that would work for me, like I'm usually the first to kind of like try it out and see how it works. I mean, I'm not big on like the CBD flowers or anything like that, but anything that's like CBD infused, like tinctures or like, you know, bath soaks or lotions or whatever it may be, like it's awesome. It's great. And I actually, I had gotten some of the dope soaps and stuff, and I gave it to my mom and my aunt. They were just like, oh, my hands, they feel so much better because, you know, they, you know, get arthritis and stuff like that. So it's crazy. It's crazy on what CBD can really do for you. And I'm happy. I'm happy you guys started this place. I think people need to be educated more. And I think, you know, like you were saying, you guys are patient operated. Like you guys actually care about what people are, you know, you guys aren't in it for money. Like you're not like when someone comes in here, you're not going to your most expensive product and be like, here, get this. You know, it could be your cheapest product or it could be your mid product, but it's whatever product was going to help.
Right. And like part of that is that, you know, I have a certificate from University of Colorado Boulder and the foundations of medical marijuana and CBD. And so it really is dependent. Like you want to kind of get to know what the needs are and if there's any kind of complications that could happen, and then make a recommendation based on that. You can't just go to a, like you said, the most expensive product.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's not always going to be the best way to combat a problem. So
yeah.
Really caregiving. I did caregiving for 14, 15 years. I consider this still caregiving.
Yeah, for sure it is.
So,
And I've seen you, you know, when people come in, and it's funny, like, so I remember we had like, I think it was me, you, Carr, and then maybe like a couple of other people in the shop. Right. And we're all, you know, we're working, we're having fun. It's all a good time. And I remember, the door opens to the shop and this lady comes in. Right. And I think Sarah had you had something in your hand, like your hands were full. You looked over and you saw this lady hobbling in. Sarah literally dropped everything, ran out, and was like, yo, hey, welcome to OG. How can I help? And she spent like 20 minutes with this lady, kind of, you know, discussing her issues, kind of what she's taken before, what she's taking now. And you really did like a whole diagnosis, where I think a lot of people wouldn't do that. You know, I don't think that they would dive as deep as you do for people.
A lot of people have the knowledge to know to ask about things that can be complications. Like I do ask about people's current prescriptions, because sometimes CBD and cannabis and other cannabinoids can have an effect on very common prescriptions. And so you want to make sure that you're checking for things like in older people, you want to make sure that their blood pressure is like in a good range to where it's not going to cause any high spikes. If they have high blood pressure, it can cause higher blood pressure. You want to make sure you get an indica instead of a sativa, because sativa causes spikes in blood pressure.
Yeah.
But like here in Utah, the state requires qualified medical providers to take a 4-hour training to be certified. In Colorado, I took 60 hours worth of training to really dig into like different ailments and like what about cannabis is helping certain ailments. It's not always THC that's helping something, and it's not always CBD that's helping, but there's almost 200 different cannabinoids that they're studying in cannabis, and each of them has an effect. Because of the legislation that's been in place, we haven't been able to study that and to really dig into it and see what they're doing for our bodies and how. The endocannabinoid system within us has only recently been, you know, published about and talked about and really linked to so many different benefits that we're deriving from the cannabis plant.
Yeah.
There's really so much to understand and know, and it's quite a bit, but you have to be interested, and you have to want that knowledge and have to want to provide the best possible quality care for the people who walk through your doors.
Yeah.
So not just a 4-hour training, but, you know, seek out continued education, And just because I finished this certification with UC Boulder, there's also things that are available to me from the University of Amsterdam that I can take specializations from them, and they've been legal forever with many things. So I'm very interested in the European model of recovery and of their judicial system as far as illicit drugs are concerned. So
it's one thing to where, like, I mean, obviously, if I had my way, like, that definitely would be raised. Like, besides just like a 4-hour training, like, that's, to me, that's not enough. Like, that's not, like, and it's the same thing with like becoming a you know, like a chiropractor. Like, you can literally go to like a, you know, a weekend class and become like a fucking chiropractor. Like, you know, it's not that, it's not that crazy. But yeah, I definitely think that people should be more involved. I'm happy, like I said, I'm happy there's people like you who have that willingness to learn and want to be more involved and want to kind of give your clients the best that you can give them. I think that's like super, super dope. But no, I think that I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for the research that's going to continue. Like I said, was it Oregon who had the pass of magic mushrooms and stuff? Or was it psilocybin? It's all decriminalized, right? Crazy. Crazy.
But one of the eastern states is passing the same.
Crazy.
California is looking at legalizing psychedelics.
Crazy. That's one thing, because like, I think now, I mean, I've had my fair share of psychedelics. I really think they are such a tool to really help damaged people, you know, like people who are afraid of death a lot, people with depression, people with maybe not anxiety, but you know, it can help. It can just really help kind of put your mind at ease. I was reading this article about this guy who was extremely, extremely afraid of death, to the point to where like it was ruining his life, you know. And he had spent like 45 years just being terribly afraid, and then finally he was in the hospital. They gave him some DMT. I think they had smart, you know, definitely small doses, obviously. But after his study, like, he no longer had a fear of death, though. And he lived his life. He actually got to live his life, you know? And so I think the legalization, or at least decriminalization of those psychedelics, is important. And I think it can really help. Like, there's so much to it that, like, I mean, I want to go into it so much more, but it's so crazy on how, like, on how helpful it is and how dangerous people make it seem, just with like all the propaganda and all the scared stories about bad trips and all that stuff. And I think it scares a lot of people. Yeah. And they put that fear factor into it, but I think they neglect to tell you about so many positives in your experience, no matter what it is, whether that's, you know, mushrooms or LSD or DMT or ayahuasca, whatever it may be. I think you can always gain something positive from it. Even if you're having like a bad trip, like I've had bad trips before, even if you're having a bad trip, there is always something positive that you can take away from it. You can always learn something from it. I think that's the most like best part about it. I mean, like, yeah, sure, I love THC and I love weed, but like, I mean, I'm not really, I can be creative on marijuana, you know, I can be super creative on it and I can really do some crazy stuff, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm not learning really much about myself, you know, like I'm not learning what really makes me tick, you know. But I think with psychedelics, like, you really learn a lot about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I always say psychedelics do you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely an experience, and I always try to tell people like what that I've encountered that are having bad trips, to embrace what that trip is trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And to really like introspect and to just be accepting of whatever conditions the psychedelics are trying to put you
in. Hell yeah. Yeah. Awesome sauce. Well, we are gonna get out of here. But thank you guys again for joining us for Blues Talks. Thank you, Sarah, for being here. Appreciate it. Yeah. Be sure to check out OG Cannabis products, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.